Shot still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
Welcome once again to Falkirk Daptics, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything that's to do with the Bairns. And even though it's a podcast, you can probably see it better than you would see the pitch at Edinburgh on Saturday. Hi, I am John McInally, and every week I'm joined by my friend, my compatriot, my fellow Bairn in arms. It's Mr. Ross Wayne.
Cheers, John. How you doing today? You good?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. How are you coping? You were wearing your Stone Island on Saturday to Edinburgh on the away trip. It was a bit like Falkirk's version of Danny Dyer. I thought it was all going to kick off afterwards. I thought you were going to go for a ruck with the Edinburgh supporters. You all right?
Listen, it wasn't the Edinburgh supporters that we had to worry about. It was the fact that there was Hibs, Rangers... Everybody was in the same location. So, I thought you might mention the fact that I had Stone Island on Saturday. But listen, it is what it is. It's Edinburgh away. What else are you going to do?
Going for a rock, mate. Going for a rock. I honestly thought you were going to go all down there looking for some trouble, mate. So I'm going off in here. It's going to be a rock, mate.
What, is he Welsh, is he?
I did, apparently so. Right, so this week, of course, we're going to be looking back on that 3-0 win against Edinburgh. And when I say looking back, I really mean struggling to see. After a pub discussion turned into who is the worst player to play for us in the last five years, we're going to be asking that on the big question. And we're going to be looking ahead to our next league match against Queen of the South in the company of journalist and Dunhammer supporter Ewan Maxwell, who's going to come on and give us a wee bit of insight into that, Ross. Before we get, I guess, let's talk about the, because we put out a tweet which was picked up by Scottish Football Away Days. It's kind of blown up on our Twitter as well. There's all sort of argy-bargy. Though that's not the right view. Let's just talk. I mean, we were well warned. We had Ali on the podcast last week. He, in fact, had walked out of the Edinburgh game a couple of weeks ago because he was so disgusted the way the away supporters and everything around that. Yeah. But let's just talk about what we went into. And we walked into the ground. We were behind the goals. It is the worst view I've ever had in football.
It was. It really, really was. It was, do you know what? See, as a leisure centre, it's perfect.
Looks
however,
lovely.
It's just not a football.
Looks lovely. I was trying to work out, I reckon if you could, I think the gym maybe looked onto the park. So I figured next time when we play them in January, get a wee cheeky one-day gym membership away up there. You get a crack in you.
After the pub, though. I don't know if that would work.
Well, that's a very valid point. It's a very valid. But yeah, like, I mean, it's worse than I thought it was going to be.
It was bad. It was really bad. I think, don't get me wrong, I saw a couple of comments saying, well, it was your choice to stand behind the goals. Absolutely, it was. However, when we walked in, which wasn't that late, it was about 2:45. Along the wing, which was really the only other place that you could stand, was pretty deep with people already there, not just single file either. There were two and threes. But you also had the dugouts to contend with. You had a grey storage shed that was in the corner. So actually, we stood where no one else was standing. Plus, it was close to the toilets. We had been in the pub since 11. Yeah. So it was. We couldn't really have stood anywhere else. And you know what? It's just unacceptable. See, if they're going to charge £18, at least give people a decent avenue to watch the game. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not a snob. I'm happy to go to any football ground and watch Falkirk, right? However, 18 quid to stand on builder's rubble, which it was, by the way, it's not as if it was even concreted, with grass coming through it. And the view was shocking. I actually felt quite bad for a lot of the kids that were there because we could at least see over the mesh that was there as well. January will be fun.
Oh, God, aye. As I was saying, you could build a little igloo behind the goals and maybe keep yourself warm at half-time and clamber into that. Yeah, it was the bit that got me was the grey equipment store. You couldn't even see if it was a corner or not. No. I was like, is that a corner? I'm not quite sure.
And there was one at the opposite end, which they at least had the sense to put where no one was standing. Yeah. And I know these things don't get, it was obviously, do you know what? The place has never been thought of as a football venue.
No.
Hence why it is what it is. But it was Edinburgh. So Edinburgh City, FC Edinburgh, whatever you want to call them, it was their choice to play there, even after it's been built. I don't know the ins and outs of Ainslie Park, but at least it had a bit of terrace and a bit of, it wasn't a great location for going for the train or for a couple of pints and stuff, but actually you'd at least go there and watch the game.
Yeah. I mean, to put things into perspective, I was speaking to Ewan Cameron at work, much loved Ewan Cameron.
Ewan Cameron.
What's that? Yes.
Jambo.
He was saying that he went to Tynecastle for the Dundee United game a couple of weeks ago. He was £32 for him and his son to get into Tynecastle, right?
Right.
When you put that into perspective, you're paying £18 to get into that ground. I mean, for fuck's sake.
No, I know. Well, listen, a couple of the guys, obviously, most of us didn't have kids with us on Saturday, but Sankey, who we know, would have had his lad there.
Mm.
And that would have been £30 for the two of them to stand where they stood, which I think he positioned himself between the two dugouts because that was sort of the best view. But it still meant he missed quite a chunk of the play whenever it was at that area, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. Well, we're back there, Janny, and we'll get into the game and actually talk about that just in a bit. A couple of things to catch up on though, Ross. Sons 11, remember we were talking about that last week,
yes,
off the back of Nicky Hogarth signed for us. We've had a few extra ones that have been thrown into the ring here. Okay. Mark says Aaron Presley played up top for AFC Wimbledon numerous times last season, son of Big Elvis himself.
Oh really? Oh well, there you go, that's a good one to have. I never thought of him.
I didn't even realise he'd Steve Presley had a son that was employed.
Is he wearing brown shoes, does he? Or
what was the one I heard? Did someone call in Jack Ross? In fact, there was a rumour that Tony Watt called him this in the changing room. It was the ASOS, the ASOS Ancelotti.
Oh, really? Oh, well, Presley used to be the Matalan Mancini, was he not?
Aye, exactly. So apparently there's a big blow-up. There's a rumour that Tony Watt called him the ASOS Ancelotti.
Do you know, there was a rumour, and it was a small rumour, and it came from Tannadice. A couple of the people I know who are Dundee United fans, they had said that Tony Watt was being talked about for a loan to Falkirk. Obviously on the back of the fallout. It'd be amazing if we did. However, that is a
terrible, terrible rumour.
See, to be fair, I took it with a pinch of salt, and see if it had been started at Falkirk end, you probably would, but it was weird that it came out of Tannadice that was being lined up. I don't know. That's just with the chat, though.
Yeah, yeah. I've not heard that one myself, but no. I can't see that happening. Barry says, great podcast, boys. Keep up the good work. Another addition to your list of ex-Bairns whose sons play football, Stuart Burgess's laddie plays for Ipswich Town, Cameron Burgess.
Ah,
Budgie's
right,
okay. Boy playing for Ipswich apparently, and he's got another one, so I just thought of another one. Gary Lennox of the 90s was the son of Bobby Lennox from the Lisbon Lions era.
Absolutely, he had a cracking haircut on him, Gary Lennox. Aye. You remember, proper slick back, proper 90s
beautiful
haircut.
Beautiful.
He was a beautiful boy.
It was a bit like Sean Mackey's a wee bit, wasn't it?
A wee bit like Sean Mackey's, yes. And as we saw during the week, I'll give him a shout out, Derek Steele, massive Bairns fan, regular in Elliot's, has sponsored his hairband, apparently.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I tell you what, the sponsors, you can sponsor anything that football club at the moment. It's a way to talk about it a wee bit later on. Celebrity fans, we were looking for celebrity Falkirk fans as well. Right now, we're struggling a bit. We did say we're struggling a bit, but we had a few in, actually. I'm going to start off with a guy called Stuart Gray. Now, Stuart Gray, Graham got in touch, and in fact, a couple of people got in touch about this one. Not sure if you can be called famous, but he was from Larbra. He's a big Falkirk fan. He sang in a band. Now, I am aware of this band, Ross. You probably aren't. There was a band, pretty hot, early noughties, called Viva Stereo. When I was working at XFM, we played them now and again. But yeah, he's a big Bairns fan. In fact, so much to the point that in 2016, the week before the cup final against Inverness, he put on a hat And like one of his big focus.
I saw the picture actually. That's quite cool.
Nice. So shout out to Stewie Gray. The other one we've got, and this is one that I totally forgot. Forbes Masson. Now, are you aware of the works of Forbes Masson?
Personally, yes, and it's only from his. I remember the comedy back in the sort of 90s. Was it the High Life?
With Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings, yeah, of course. So I forgot Forbes fellow Ginge as well. How could
fellow Ginge as well. So Forbes is a big Bairns supporter. I mean, he's like a completely, you know, he's probably best known for like the High Life, I think. But he was alongside Simon Pegg. And is it Bill Bailey? He was in Hamish Macbeth, Red Dwarf, EastEnders. So I would say Big Forbes is probably the most famous we've got so far.
I would say so. That's good. And did his missus, did she not?
Yes, she did. Melanie.
Or something like that.
Melanie Masson was in X Factor.
There you go. I shouldn't know that. But
Through my work on the radio, I've spoke to Melanie a few times about Bits and Bobs and X Factor and such like. We've had her on the show and stuff like that. She's a lovely, lovely girl. So maybe I should reach out to Melanie and see if we can get Forbes on the show.
Could be a way. Listen, if you've got the contact, try and get him on.
Yeah, why not? So there we go. We're at the moment, we've got young Sheldon up here. We've got Forbes Masson. Can we beat Forbes Masson on Celebrity Top Trumps? Maybe we can, but I don't think we can classify this as a celebrity supporter. Thanks to Doogie, who was on the show last week, being our guest pundit. He has sent in a picture of James Wade holding up Mon the Bairns.
All right, okay. Oh, yes, I saw that in the inbox, actually.
James Wade, obviously, darts player, former world champion at the PDC. So, yeah, James Wade, we're taking James Wade as a Bairn. So, well done, James Wade. So, we've got there James Wade, Forbes Masson, any more celebrities, get them in. Right, that's that. Let's talk about Bairns Abroad as well, Ross.
Okay.
We were looking for people in far-flung places of the world.
We had Tyler. So met a Falkirk supporting Stuart at Cardiff away for Borough last year. Poor guy watched us get pumped 3-0 off Airdrie at home the week before. That's not so good.
Right, so there we go. We've got Borough, but here we go, we're going further afield now. Shout out to Tam, says enjoying the podcast, lads. I know you're after some far-flung Bairns. I am tuning in all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, USA. Keep up the good work.
There we go, cracking. And then we've got Rahan, Trent, no.
I put that on the plan. This is probably, we've got Rahan, and it's this was on YouTube, Ross. It says, trending adult porn videos only. Alex Zier Sean, Aber Zeus Zusaman, die Nomen sehen und ein, eine Verhon online Brunette und eine andere Blondine, es wäre unfair, wenn ich wir Valhallen würde. I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming she's German, so we're going to take that as a German, and that was on our YouTube channel.
That also teach me to read and pre-read what I should be talking. So I know you're going to keep this in as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Rahan if you are listening. Thanks very much. And keep those videos coming. Right. So that is our far-flung Bairns. On the news front, Ross, couple of bits in news this week. Kyle Connolly, we've obviously got that kind of link up with the Shire now. He has went on loan to the Shire. 18-year-old in the development squad. Called up to the first team. I don't know much about Kyle, but you know, he's certainly part of the first team squad.
Yeah, well, he's been on the bench the last few weeks, which he may not have made had we had everyone available. However, great for him. He's obviously had experience of being on the bench the last few weeks. He'll go to the Shire, hopefully gets a few goals, because I know he's a striker or a forward. Hopefully gets a few goals and comes back pretty confident. And I assume he's still going to be training with us during the week and stuff as well.
Yeah, aye, good luck, Kyle. It's good. I mean, it's good having that link up with the Shire. Obviously, they're playing in the Lowland League, but it is good to get players farmed out, get them experience. I mean, that level, I mean, look at the teams that have come up through the Lowland League. It's a decent level when you're coming up. Some of these teams, you know, you see what's happened to the teams that have come up through it. I mean, Edinburgh being one of them, actually.
Yeah, Bonnyrigg. look great as well, don't they? So
Kelty, you know, it's you know, they've all done very well. So he's playing at a decent level there. So hopefully, you know, he's down there, and hopefully he can get the experience that he needs. Finn Yates named MD Finlay Player of the Month in association with JF Collie Goldsmiths. This is what I'm talking about, the sponsors. We've actually got sponsors sponsoring the sponsors now. This is what we're at. But Finn Yates, named Player of the Month by our sponsors. They are obviously...
Massively well-deserved.
Would you say, I was going to ask you, would you say that he's Player of the Month for me? Probably yes.
It's not a walkover.
McGinn's been consistently good.
Yeah, McGinn's been amazing. Mackie's been really, really good as well.
Yeah. Cole Donaldson. You know, there was a few.
Who are you going to call? Yeah. There's a few there that definitely could have won it. So the fact that he has so early, 18, amazing.
I would say at the moment, and this is the, in many a year, this is the best young player we've had on the books at Falkirk.
I'm trying
to think the best kind of player under 20, the last great under 20 player that came out of Falkirk. That's an interesting one.
Well, you're probably going back to like Conor McGrandles and Kingsley and Sibs and stuff.
A lot of the Presley kind of era when he brought through a lot of the young guys. You're probably right.
Jay Fulton and stuff, I suppose, as well. Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, best of luck, and hopefully Finn can keep it going. Right, and the final thing, and I'll just put this in, it's another sponsor thing from the club, and I just liked it because Benny T's have now become partners for, and this is what I loved about it, Supper Tuesday. You see what they've done there? Supper Tuesday. So if you go to Berry Tees on a Tuesday, you get entered into a raffle for a ticket for the game. Love that. Supper Tuesday. You
know,
come on now.
Yeah, you know me, I love a wee pun. That's pretty special. That's pretty special. I saw there was a few people kind of throwing a few puns back at on the Facebook pages and stuff when it launched.
Oh, what's that? Well, so, I missed out. Yeah. I have to get involved in that. I love a good pun.
I do as well.
Actually, a story on Benny T's. I was speaking to Gordon Duncan, the host of Super Scoreboard.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're throwing out the celebrity names here tonight, eh?
I know, I'll pick them up, I'll pick them back up. But he is married to a girl who is was related to Benny T, because Benny T is unfortunately no longer with us.
That's right, he was. It was the surname, not something like Tomioli or something like that? Is that not right? Yeah.
So Gordon basically married into the Berry Tees franchise, and I saw him down at the Falkirk Stadium just in pre-season there, and he says, "Oh, this is great. I've got a wee assignment for Sky through here at the Falkirk Stadium, and I'm right up the road to Berry Tees afterwards." I said, did you get a free supper for Berry Tees, though? He says, "Nah, no, really. You're only marrying into the Berry Tees family so you can get suppers, can't you, wouldn't you?"
We need to speak to them about maybe some, like, again, we tried with the Sanam and the Gilner. It's obviously failed. So we need to maybe try now with the...
Oh, next week's... Right, let's throw it out there, right? I'm going to throw us out here. I'm not going to give it a... What's the best chippy in Falkirk? I'm going to put the Falkirk area, right? What is the best chippy in the Falkirk area? Ross, your nomination.
Do you know, it's tough. And you put me on the spot. Benny T's is probably up there, however... And I can't say I've been to this one. However, one of my good mates, and I know he listens to the podcast, Des, he swears by the one that's at the bog. So I've never been. However, he swears by it, and he says it's closer to, I think it's the closest chippy to the stadium as well. He swears by it. So I might stick my name out and go with that one.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to go. I used to be Enrico's, but that changed management. So I'm now going for Cello's in Kinnaird, which is just round the corner from me and is a cracking chippy. Cello's in Kinnaird. So yeah, let's get that on the go. Nominations for the best chippy in the Falkirk area. We'll maybe put a poll together for next week, and we'll see where we end up with that. But there we go. Get involved with that on our Twitter at Falkirk Daft, if you will, please. So let's get into the game then, will we? Every week we welcome onto the podcast a guest pundit to talk about the previous game, and we are pleased to welcome a Falkirk Dafty, it's Gav McLaren.
Good, lads, all right? Thanks.
Good, mate, good. First of all, how was your view on Saturday?
Was there a view? We said that at the time of Saturday, I've been to some shite holes to go and watch Falkirk a bit. Oh, that's definitely
the worst.
Do
you reckon that's the worst? Does reckon I'm trying to think of grounds. I think in Scotland, like in the top league in Scotland, that's probably the worst place I've seen Falkirk.
Aye, without a doubt. King Beef was bad. I mean, about the big fence around it and all that, with the stock car racing and that. But even that was, you still seen a wee bit of the part, but that was
fun. I agree with you, Gav. At least Cowden Beef, you're raised with either the terrace or in the stand. That was just brutal, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible. I had a feeling a typical pre-season game that you would get like a obscure fixture somewhere. But I mean, against somebody.
We'll get into the game in a minute, Gab. I want to find out a wee bit about your kind of Falkirk story. So what is your Falkirk story, mate? How did you get into the band?
Just dragged along the generations of family, going back to my grandfather 3 years ago, and then my dad just dragged along. I think my first game was about 95, I think, Brockville, home or away. That was it, just dragged along, there, jumped. I used to take care of the Thursdays at Brookville, Roman Bar Boss, that was it. So that's been it ever since. Home and away. Didn't change it.
So, here, mate. Here. Yeah, that's it. Didn't change it.
And Ross was saying that you've got a connection to Crunchy, I believe.
Just good pals with my dad. That obviously kept Cameron boys, were at the same school together and that. And my Uncle Jeff as well, so... Aye, family's got me always as well, so aye, pretty close that way. So always helps. You've got a wee legend for that.
Absolutely.
You're a Roman Bar drinker then?
Sometimes aye, most of the time. So we still buses leaving for there all the time now, so aye, we're doing all right.
Fantastic, right. So I'm got to ask then, your favourite player of all time?
Well, it's not any surprise, is it?
Crunchy it is then.
Well, he'd be the wee man, aye. But no, obviously, the aforementioned, a few ones I've been on before as well, but the wee lap as well was absolute genius. But I always had a soft spot for Scott McKenzie, though. I thought it was brilliant for us. It wasn't obviously the type of flair player, or it wasn't technically as good as the other two, but what a job he'd done for us in the two spells. And he played every position.
He was ahead of his... The thing is, he was ahead of his time, Scott McKenzie. A lot of... You know, at the time, you're like, what's this boy doing in the park? What's he doing? But see, if you could go back and look at what Scott McKenzie did in terms of ball retention, winning the ball, keeping it. I mean, you like a player like that, but, like there's kids that now want to be that, what they call the pivot. You know what I mean? And that's what he did for us, wasn't it?
Just kept it simple. And it was one of the players you needed in your team. Yeah. Got the dirty side, but he done it well. You know what I mean? He was just one of the players and... I mean, he came back to us that season with one leg at Brockville.
When he was playing at Sweeper, he was unbelievable that season, the Fortress Brockville season. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Always made his goal through it. East End Park and Romain, did they?
That was a belter, wasn't it?
I can't remember if it was Equalizer, but Big Evo scored that day as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think McKenzie's was the first goal, and then was Big Evo's header, the equalising goal, right?
Aye.
It was from memory, it wasn't even a corner that we got. It was like completely not a corner that we scored from as well.
Beautiful, that's what we like to hear. Right, I'm going to ask you this question because this is going to be our big question later on, and this is a hard question. This is the hardest question we'll be asked all day, Gav, right? Okay. Who's the worst player to play for Falkirk in the last 5 years?
Oh dear. How long have we got?
you've got to give us one name. You've got to give us one name.
For me, Leo Fasan, the goalkeeper, I'm just saying that I'm a goalkeeper. I used to play goals when I was younger than that, but he was brutal, mate. That's just off the top of me. There could be more than that.
Oh, there's a lot more than that, and we'll get into that a bit later on in the show.
That's the number one off the top of my head.
I did. Very popular answer, funnily enough, Gav. But let's get into the game on Saturday there. Falkirk 3, FC Edinburgh 0. Morrison, Oliver and Burrow with the goals. Two changes for Falkirk. Oliver and McGuffey were in for Hetherington and Williamson. Ross, we heard the night before it was a key player that was out, and were you surprised it was Williamson?
No, I wasn't, to be honest, because obviously he's not been great in terms of his health since he signed, really. Do you know what? I thought if it was him, I thought we'd be okay, because Wee Yeats is just, He just there doesn't seem to be a position that he can't play in so far. I thought we would miss him in midfield, but he no. Listen, I thought it might have been Williamson. I'm just glad it. Do you know he had such a good game the week before though? That was the only frustration.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it was speculation who it was when he said. It's interesting that obviously McGuinn chose the word key player as well when he said that it was someone out. Obviously, as well, Gav Hetherington out as well was took ill the day of the game. Do you think we were kind of covered in midfield for him though?
Possibly, but I think there'll be bigger games where you need like Hetherington. I think he started the season pretty well, and there'll be games where when you go away for him. Possibly harder games in Edinburgh probably, but you need him in there first, you know, because he does the digging side and all that. So to be fair, he has started the season well. I didn't expect it to be him, it was out either, but I hope it's not in his back soon. So
there was a slight change, there was a wee bit of a change in formation. Not much. I thought he was actually going to go 4-4-2, if I'm honest with you, the way obviously the kind of team were selecting, but it was more of a kind of, you know, 4-5-4-4-1-1. It was not much difference. Over was playing obviously that kind of linking role. Overall thoughts on the games, Ross, coming to you first on this.
From what we saw, because obviously it was tough to watch, but I thought it was really comfortable, really, really comfortable. Like Hogarth made two great saves in quick succession. I must admit I didn't see much of it because we were always at the opposite end, but then when you watch it back on the highlights from probably more so Edinburgh's viewpoint with the camera, what a crucial time for those double saves. So but just really comfortable. It's the second week on the bounce that we're able to say that we saw a lot of the ball, we had a lot of chances, we could have scored more, but it was great to see the subs coming on and kicking on as well. Obviously, Lowell came on, Burrell came on, got a goal. Pierce Carroll has just had five wonder minutes, obviously, as well. And there's high hopes for him too. So, yeah, all good.
Anything to add to that, Gav?
Well, it's just what Ross has said there, John. I very confident for the start. We were on it for the start, just controlled it. Else, when you've got like McGinn in there, I think he's getting better every week. Just cruises it in there. The many times we've got down the sides of him with Morrison in there as well.
Yeah.
I think it was it McGuffey or Oliver just before half time? If he'd scored that, it would have been more comfy, but I don't think we were having any danger that day, to be honest. But
it did feel that way, didn't it? It was a weird, weird game because what you were saying, Gav, you went into that stadium and we were saying this as well, it just felt like a reserve game or like you were playing in some sort of Eastern Bloc third division kind of stadium, you know what I mean? And it just felt really, really weird. But the atmosphere, I don't know if that fed into the fact that there didn't seem to be any flow to the game for me.
It's just not built for football, is it? Really, that's not a football stadium. How can you get an atmosphere going in there? And to be fair, the players they put the performance on, because I mean, imagine it's easy to play in that kind of environment. But they got on the job. We just said that at the time. Oh, get 3 points, and that's it. Move
on. Absolutely. And you know, Gav, one thing you said there as well about Hetherington. He has been great since McGuinn's came in. But actually, I think a big part of that, just as you mentioned about playing alongside McGinn.
Yeah, aye. He's kind of crazy. I say obviously didn't he play all the games for Kilmarnock last season for any reason. I think he just cruises it in there at times. You need that. Puts the foot on the ball when it's needed. Takes the pressure off you at times. And he was obviously experience. Because experience is anything. See it.
Yeah.
So just hopefully we can keep him fit though. Because I would worry if we were going to lose him in there. I don't think the likes of Hetherington or Yates can do this similar job to what he can do. But hopefully he keeps fit anyway.
Yeah. See, going back to the stadium issue, the first warning sign was when you went in and it wasn't a pie hut. It was some sort of coffee bar that sold croissants during the week.
So Edinburgh. I mean, Morrison, obviously, with the first goal, that's 2-2 for him. I mean, he started off that. Is that four for the season already, Morrison, if you take the League Cup? Is that right? Am I right in saying that? Or is that three? so far?
Oh, I would need to look. I'm not sure.
The free kick, one last week, one this week. Did he score another one in the League Cup as well?
No, it was
Heading. It was Nesbitt.
Nesbitt, yeah.
So, Matthew, anyway, obviously had the goal, took a bit of a, looked like it took a bit of deflection. Robbie Much, a lot of people pointing fingers at him for that goal. I mean, from where, that was the only goal we really saw, to be fair. But, I mean, a good start for the Bairns.
Aye, which was needed, because if you don't get off to a good start in the games, obviously teams will just sit in against you. And as you say, no atmosphere, the fans aren't, the fans will start, you know what it's like, the fans will start getting on the back and all that. So I had to get in there, get there, I go. But I just never felt we were ever in any danger. We had the most of the possession. It was just a matter of time before we got the goal, and that was it.
It did, yeah, it did. I mean, obviously, talked about the double save from Nicky Hogarth there at 1-0, which, you know, if it goes 1-1, you're going, right, okay, here we go, we'll wait and see what happens. But again, into the second half, no one really saw this goal. Well, we certainly did, because we were at the end of the goal. Gav, did you have a better view of Oliver's goal than we did?
Probably not, no.
Looking back at the highlights, though, he's done well.
We started off at the, when we first came in, we stood at the corner when we first came in. But in the second half, we tried to go up the other end to see if we'd get any better view, but slightly better. But because you were still on the terrace, and if you were behind somebody, there was no chance here. There was obviously quite a snort here.
Yeah.
So that's why we ended up just staying behind the goals for the full game, Gav, because we looked at it thinking, oh, well, we move up and try and get a better view. But you were going to be two, three, four bodies deep, and you're just going to see the back of someone's head, plus the dugouts.
But good work there, Oliver, with a good finish again. More. I hope there's more to come from him, especially against Dunfermline.
I've been quite impressed with him, to be honest. I don't know if, obviously, he's not a new striker who's going to get you all the goals, but he's hold up playing, that's good. I think he could benefit from playing alongside somebody. But whether Big Lynn just continues with the one main man, but or
You're right, Gav. I'd like to have seen him. Well, that's what I was hoping for, a 4-4-2, especially against Edinburgh, and like to have seen him up there with Allegria playing as a two. But it's not McGlynn in McGlynn's style, really, is it?
No, that's it. He's got his way of playing, and that's it now. So, and if it works most weeks, well, we'll be arguing. So,
no, exactly. Big Allegria, big Johnny Joy. As we like to refer to him on this podcast, it's going to catch on, I'm telling you. I thought again, he just, the hold up play, his link up play was really good. I just think he needs a goal.
I agreed. The first couple of games I wasn't too sure, but you can see there is something there. There is times as well, I don't think he looks as if he's going to lose the lead at times, but as you say, hopefully maybe that's just what he's needing, to go to take the pressure off him, get the monkey off his back, and then you get to see the better of him. But aye, there is definitely see signs where he's got with the boys feet and things like that. So
he does, he gets in good positions, doesn't he? He does.
Yeah.
Ross, do you want to talk us through the third goal?
No, I would not like to do that.
Why,
John,
would that be, Ross?
I take it you're talking about the fact I left 10, 15 minutes before the end of the match, are you?
Maybe. Yeah.
So, Gav, I don't know what time you left. However, we scored the second goal, which was a peach. I loved it. And then we all just kind of looked at each other, with the exception of John and a couple of others, and we thought, shall we head back to the pub and enjoy the rest of the Edinburgh nightlife, which we did. So it was Jeff Stelling who informed me that the third goal had went in. So
and you missed
finish
the first,
I saw it later on.
The first goal in the Burrell collection, which you've deemed the Burrell collection. Again, like we talked about the impact the subs made. I thought, you know, as you guys did, the boys coming off the bench, Lawell, Burrell and Piers Carroll all made a big difference when they came on.
I definitely. I actually thought the two of them, when they came on, they looked all right as well. Although the game was done, their first thought, get the ball and go forward. That's what it looks, and obviously they've got a bit of pace as well, so that'll cause problems for teams. Just need whether they get a run in the teams, well, that'll depend on other lands, but there's definitely some there for what I've seen so far. Yeah. A good finish for the third goal as well. Good, some ball as well for the youngster. But
And it was, obviously, I can only go by the highlights because I didn't miss it. I didn't see it live, but Pierce Carroll's turn and his ball control was phenomenal before he launched that pass forward. And Burrell. I saw his interview.
He's well. A confident boy, isn't he?
He doesn't lack confidence at all.
I love that. He's like, I'll just put out, you'll hopefully get started against Queen of South because I had an assist last year. I'll just score a bit. He's like, I love this.
What did he say? It was something like, oh, if I get longer, I'll probably score two. No, three. You're like, brilliant.
Absolutely love that confidence. And it's obviously good now we can see these boys coming off the bench, you know, and obviously you don't really change a winning team. I'll be intrigued, though. I think he might give Burrell the nod in front of Allegri next week. We'll wait and see. What do you think?
Maybe. He's obviously got a goal now, but as Gav said, Allegri, he does bring people in and he finds good space, which maybe then brings in others. But you are at home, and do you know, I think we owe Queen of the South an absolute thumping, and it might come back and haunt me, but after the last few years when they had Dobie up front, every time he played against us, he seemed to score two or three goals. Thankfully, he's retired. I would love to score a few goals on Saturday. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. I've got to push you out to... Now, are you guys familiar with a band... Well, The Clash. You'll be familiar with The Clash, yeah? Yeah. Have you heard a song called Wrong on Boyle from London Calling?
No.
Now, listen to this, right? My brother suggested this as a potential song for Ramon Burrell, right? And it sounds like he is singing, right? I want to play a clip of it here, right? So here we go. This is Wrong on Boyle by The Clash, right? Hold on, right? Here we go, right? Wrong on Boyle, Ramon Burrell, you see where we go with that? No, not having it.
No. It does sound like it, but I don't think it's going to catch on.
So Ramon Burrell, Wrong on Boyle. It might not having it.
Did Gab, we'll try it in pre-match at the Lizzie in Dunfermline, and we'll see if it.
No, you never know.
Right, okay. We'll try and get that. And they also suggested, why don't we do I Fought Lawal and Lawal Won as well, going down that clash. Or I thought, if when we had Casper Schmeichel, we could have done Rock the Casper. No, I'm not getting anything off that, am I?
Maybe the question should be, how do we get a Posh Spice song out of either Burrell or Lawal?
We'll work on that. If Burrell, very confident lad. Shout out, like we say, Pierce Carroll, 16 years old. Is he? We need to speak to Michael White. Who's the youngest player that's ever played for Falkirk? Because Pierce Carroll can't be far off. At 16, he's not long turned 16 as well, I believe.
Was Sips maybe not 15 or 16, Gav?
Possibly, maybe Stephen King. I always meant Stephen Kingsley was right young as well when he first. But I don't know what age right enough. To be fair,
we'll need to look into that.
We'll need to look into that.
Who's the youngest player to play forward? Tam McManus. He came through Tam McManus's academy and he put out on Twitter, Falkirk fans, give the wee man a follow. He's got two followers. He's now up to 94. I checked before we came on. So Pierce Carroll won. Pierce Carroll, PearseCarroll1. And you can get him on Twitter. Give the wee man a follow because hopefully he's going to be certainly one for the future, judging by what we saw in that brief 5 minutes on Saturday. So that was the game in a nutshell. Here's the manager as he caught up with Lewis, as he spoke about the first time we've won two games in a row in a year.
John, a 3-0 win today, but more importantly, the first time we've won back-to-back games in a year, so nothing but positives today.
Yeah, we're glad to get that monkey off our back. Yeah, it's not an attractive start that at all, is it? You know what I mean? So a club like Falkirk should be winning games, you know, much more regularly. And so we're glad to get that monkey off our back. You know, the win last week against Peterhead and now coming here in Edinburgh and coming away with a 3-0 victory. Very comfortable win, in my opinion. Right for the start, you know, we showed our intent. Stevie McGinn had a shot over the bar within the first minute of the game, and it showed the number of attacking players we had on the pitch. Some of that was forced. Yesterday we lost Ryan Williamson to an injury, and then this morning woke up to the news that Stevie Hetherington was ill, so we had to make changes, and the changes we made were attacking ones, with Craig McGuffey coming in, Gary Oliver coming in, and I thought we were very dominant in the first half, really dominant. Good goal by Callum Morrison, and I thought we had some really good play. We had to defend on a couple of occasions, we had to block shots on one of the ones, and then Gary Oliver getting the second goal put us in a really good position. Edinburgh came into the game for a spell after that. I think we had put an awful lot into the sort of first hour of the game, maybe just took our foot off the gas a little bit. Edinburgh came into the game, and once again we had to defend very well, blocking a couple of shots. But we're always dangerous going forward. We were dangerous all the time, and we should have added to the scoreline before we did. But I'm delighted that Marin came on and got a goal, so that'll do his confidence a world of good, running in behind, showed his pace. A great ball by Pierce Carroll when he came on. What a 5 minutes he had, really, enough to get booked and to have an assist. And he had another great ball through that, again, that Romarin did really well. And Callum Morrison should have scored from it, you know, at the back post. So, no, it's a good day's work, very good day's work, very professional. Back-to-back wins, as you say. And we get jump above Edinburgh, obviously, in the league, up to 7 points. So, yeah, all good.
So, Gaffer there, it was a job, it was just that, you know, for me, it didn't feel like we came out of third gear on Saturday. What did you guys think?
Aye, that's what it felt like. I'd say right from the start, just dominated it, kept the ball well, got in behind him a few times, created chances. And although, as you said, Hogarth made a few saves, but I don't think we were ever in any danger of losing that game. Even if we'd lost one, we were more capable of getting a few more. It was never... I expected a wee bit more for Edinburgh, to be honest, but... Going
back,
performance
is
sad. I don't think they could be struggling to stay in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think I certainly had a bit more thought that they were going to give us a bit more of a game, and purely on the basis that they've obviously had a couple of good positive results on the road. I know they got beat after Dunfermline a couple of weeks back, but it's first game at their stadium. But you know, that stadium, it doesn't do them any favours either. So it might be that their away form is far, far better than their home results.
Yeah. That's true. Obviously, injuries stacking up a wee bit for us. Brad McKay seems to be a bit far out. We don't know about, I think, from what John McGlynn said, PJ Morrison might not be, they still kind of seem to be waiting, but obviously we've got the long-term injury to Watson. Henderson looks like he's going to be back in training this week, which is good news. Though, again, you look at Cole Donaldson and Sean Mackey in the middle of that defence, you just, I'm really confident about that. I wouldn't want to change it.
Don't know if you would change it just now, but Henderson's a good sign, and he's not played much for us, obviously, just a few minutes here and there, but he looks pretty assured when he has played, so...
But Leon McCann is doing... I mean, I thought... We'll get into our Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafties in a minute, but I thought Leon McCann had a great match on Saturday.
Aye, definitely. I prefer Big Mackie in there at left centre half, to be honest. I think he gives you a bit more ability, and McCann gives you a bit more width. I think McCann will go forward. Maybe that's maybe some home games you're maybe going to get more, maybe away from him. You maybe put Mackie back to left back, and if McKay goes back in, or Henderson. But I definitely, when you're going forward and you've got most of the ball, I think McCann gives you more going forward as such.
Yeah.
But I've been impressed with Big Mackie. He's not really put a foot wrong, to be honest.
Yeah, and obviously Kai Kennedy come into that side as well. We've not seen him yet in a Falkirk jersey, but you know he's going to, you know, what unknown quantity. He's done okay in spells at places. Rangers have got hopes for him, but you know he potentially could come in for Nesbitt, who again was okay on Saturday, but didn't really light the head of the light.
I didn't think he was that great on Saturday, to be honest. I wouldn't have, you know, I actually forgot he was playing. I didn't think he saw much of the ball. Considering we did see a lot of the ball, I don't think he did much with it. I think his position's probably up for grabs when we've got some more of these injuries back, to be honest.
Yeah, interesting. Let's go on to see what you guys have been saying about it. I'll kick off with Peter. Really good performance. Like the fact we have quite a few players missing, but the guys really stepped up today to a man. Really good showing. Captain amazing again. So good on. Come on, you Bairns.
Good stuff. Yeah, we've had Martin saying great to see goals coming from different players on the team. We seem to finally have a little bit of a momentum. Leon McCann looks to be back to the player that we saw and he's in his last season at Airdrie. Completely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're saying. Barry, Johnny Joy, yes, it's catching on. Just needs that first goal. Thought he'd done really well again today. What a ball from Carroll for the third goal. Big game next week and actually looking forward to watching the Bairns again. So I think there is a wee bit of kind of optimism after the last two matches, isn't there? Like John was saying, it's the first time, unbelievable, we've won two games back-to-back in a year.
That's just, that's unbelievable, but it's not really a surprise, is it, after the last couple of years? But
yeah.
Hopefully, if you can get a bit of momentum, just get the momentum going, get a run in this league, then we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's going to be as easy as that, though, because there's still good teams in the league, the Reds or Montrose and things like that. So I think it's going to be hard to put a run on, but you never know if we can, especially look after our home games, and we'll be far away, I don't think.
So, yeah.
No, listen, just before we go on to the next comment, I think that's a good shout. I think we performed well against Montrose and didn't score. We've then had a tough game through Airdrie and it didn't go well at all. Unacceptable, really, in terms of performance and result. We've then played really well the last couple of weeks. We've scored goals, which is what we wanted. So, but Saturday's actually a really huge test because it's the kind of game we have lost in the last few years. So it's really, really important, as Gav says, that we actually try and win our home games, especially against the teams that's going to be hopefully around us.
Yep. They've started the season quite well as well, to be fair, because they got through the League Cup and had a good one on Saturday. I think it was a couple of draws before it, but again, it was against the Airdrie Montrose, so yeah. It's set for a good game.
And I think Queens probably will get a bit of money from this cup tie that they've got against Rangers as well, so it'll be interesting to see if they maybe bring another player or two in before the end of the window, you know?
Yeah.
Falkirk FC News, Lowell looks a serious player, but also very impressive. And Pierce Carroll, what can you say, really? Simply superb. He's only 5 minutes as well.
That could be one that you were saying about Nesbitt's positions under threat, Ross. Potentially him, Lowell coming in for him at the weekend, maybe.
Very possible. Yeah, very possible.
Ryan says, really good win on the road, controlled most of the game. Morrison, McGinn and McCann really good again. Good to see Burrell off the mark and young Pierce Carroll with the assist. Lowell also showing up well when he came on.
He did, loads of good energy about him. Not that I saw much of his, obviously.
I was going to say, yeah, you weren't even
Russell says, Leo McCann comfortably the best player on the park. Great performance from him, and Oliver had his best game for us in the middle of the park too. Pierce Carroll, though, unreal assist for the third goal. Hopefully the first appearance of many.
Yeah. Elsa, Queen Sheet, three different scores and an all-round good team performance on all accounts. What's not to like?
You know, she just
needs, sometimes she just needs to let it go, though, eh?
Jesus, John. Jesus. David says this was a...
Gavin's just like, what the fuck?
He's facing it all, to be fair.
Facing it all.
David says this was a good result as the Airdrie one was bad. Credit to the manager for what looks like decent signings and not being afraid to give youth a chance.
Absolutely. It is. Do you know what? It's like you love seeing players come through the system, and obviously we've just kind of re-established that now, and Pierce Carroll is one that we've got in. And it's great to see like a 16-year-old turn out for the Bairns. And like you say, what a 5-minute cameo he had, you know, that little turn, the little setup assist for the goal. Right good player he looks like, you know, so fingers crossed. And that's what Graham says, Pierce Carroll is very good. Last season he overdid things a bit for the kids, but he's a serious talent, just needs directed. So, you know, Tam McManus obviously raving about him as well.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's good feedback. I think... Gav, I don't know if you'd saw his interview. There was an interview with John McGlynn and he said, look, he's probably not for now, but he'll get his 5-10 minutes here and there, depending on how the result is and stuff. That might be all we see of him, but do you know what? See, if we're winning games and he is, and we are in a good place, he probably will get a few more minutes, won't he?
Well, that's it. It's old adage, if you're good enough, that's it.
Yep.
But it's good to see that there's a pathway again for him, give the boys a chance. So,
I know.
I get on him.
Absolutely.
The size of him there, he's just a...
I know. God almighty, when you're... It gets worrying when you get to age going, that could be my laddie playing out there, and you just go, oh, jeez.
Well, wait there. What is it? He's 16, did we say?
Yeah.
So, well, if you think about where we all were watching Falkirk...
Right, so if Pierce Carroll's Ma was in Rosie's or Austin's back in the day... he's kind of a wee bit gingery. He's got a wee bit of the kind of gingery. Well, there we go.
He's maybe a future candidate for the ginger 11 then. Yeah,
maybe. And potentially a DNA test for Ross Wayne.
Whoa. Listen, I've got family who listen to this podcast here, Mr. McNally. Drew said, done the job well, pretty comfortably. Next week will tell us a lot about the direction our season will go, in my opinion.
It is. This game, I think, is a pivotal game. Coming up against Queen of the South, because like you say, that's two wins in the spin. Now we're coming up, you know, it's Peterhead and, you know, Edinburgh, who I think are going to be down the bottom half. This team that we're coming up against on Saturday is going to be a top half team, and it's how we perform against them, especially at home, that's going to set down a marker, isn't it?
I definitely. I mean, so they'll come through with confidence after the weekend. I wasn't too sure how they were going to be this year, because they've been on the side in the Championship really well as well. But they've made a couple of decent signings for themselves, so a good test for us. And then just as I say, we've got to keep the momentum going. That's it. Hope for that last couple of games there have put the ears in there. That was just a blip. Back to our old selves again, so...
Fingers crossed.
I think this one's key as well, because if you think back to this time last year, we'd had a few good results. We might have even been top of the table by this point. And then we played Queen's Park at the stadium. I don't think we played that badly that day, but that defeat, well, it might have been 3-2 or 3-1, it just seemed to kick us on in the wrong direction then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Never recovered for it. Oh, yeah, that was it.
Right, boys, go on to who your Falkirk Daft rated player of the week was. Ross, you only saw half the game, so you only have you can't rate any of the substitutes, obviously.
John, I saw at least 75 minutes.
Well, who are you going for, mate?
I saw most of the 75 minutes. Do you know, it's a tough one, actually. Yates has obviously had a few of these for me, but... do you know, I don't know. I'm struggling to pick just one, because I thought we collectively played really, really
well. It was
just,
it was a comfortable team performance.
Played really, really well. Do you know, McGinn's probably, as we were talking about earlier on about Scott McKenzie, McGinn covers every blade of grass. He's here, there and everywhere. He does an awful lot of the unsung stuff, so I'm going to go McGinn.
Gaff, who you got?
You just stole my thunder there. I was going to go for McGinn a little bit. I thought McCann had a good game as well, so to go different, I'll go McCann. He's that width up the left side. I just think that once you need it, when you're playing against teams that sit in against you, it can be a threat. So I'll go for McCann, but McGinn, again, it was solid. I just think he's getting better than he's going.
Yeah.
Well, you two have stolen both my choices, so who will I go for then? I'll go for Cole Donaldson, because I'll go for the two defensive pair. They didn't look troubled at all. Again, Sean and Cole at the back. But I'll go big Cole, because if you're having defensive problems, what do?
Cole Donaldson.
Absolutely. So I'll go for big Cole.
That's worse than right. The Elsa pun, by the way.
Oh no, I'm really regretting that now. the Clash puns, the Elsa pun, the Elsa Jags. I'm just going to shut up now. Right, Falkirk Dafty of the week. Come at you first, Gav. Who are you going for?
Well, for the worst. Oh, bad one.
Don't worry, if you don't think it was any bad for anyone bad for Falkirk, you can aim your, at something else. You can aim your
I think I'd be arsed to pick anyone out for that performance on Saturday. A 3-0 one away for him, Queen Street. I'm not going to pick any player out for that.
Right, okay, Ross, who are you going for?
Well, there's a couple of candidates for me, not in terms of playing score again. One is one of the guys, Gav, who I think you will know him, Al Harkins, the grandfather of the group that we go to the football with. We're all sitting having a few beers before the game, and he brings over a cheap bottle of wine, El Canto. And you can imagine the chat that then ensued. So it's either Al Harkins for his El Canto wine, this Edinburgh chairman, who obviously... Ali had a lot of grief give last week. What an absolute shocking decision to sign off that your team's going to go and play there, because they've had to make a call. I know they could have been left sort of without a home, but they seem to have a tie-up with Hibs. Like, go and play Easter Road if you're that well in with them, but that place is a shocking place. So I'm going to go with the Edinburgh chairman, owner, whoever's made that call.
Yeah, well, I'll take Alan Harkins, not only for the fact that we're sitting in the artisan, he ordered a bottle of Pinot Grigio, which was obviously the house choice, but also the fact that he decided in his infinite wisdom, he kept changing our seats for a start. He said, oh, we'll go and sit over there in this corner because it's beside an open window. Through the open window flew a wasp, right, Gav? And Alan, in his infinite wisdom, thought, do you know what? I am going to catch the wasp in my hand. You'll never guess what happened after he decided to catch a wasp in his hand. So he basically got stung by the wasp, and then the girls behind the bar were pouring cider vinegar to put his wee finger in it to stop, to help with his wasp sting. Then he went back after and had another bottle of El Cunto. So Alan Harkins is definitely going to be the Dafty of the Week this week, I think.
What was the verdict on the wing anyway? Did you try it?
Oh, you want to, next time you come round for a glass of it, Gav. That's a lovely white. It's a lovely white, you know. It was a good year. It was a good year.
2022, I think, wasn't it?
2020. That's it. Well, listen, Gav, thank you very much for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for your input into the game. And if you want to be like Gav and come on, talk about the game, all you have to do is drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can pop us an email. Do that, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
It is time for the big question, Ross. And every week in Falkirk Daft, we ask a big question. This all kicked off in the pub after a few on Saturday, after obviously you missed the last 15 minutes of the game, and we went back to the pub. You'd had a few more extra because you managed to squeeze in an extra pint.
Maybe one extra.
So we got into it. My mate popped in. He's a Celtic supporter, and he popped into the pub for a drink with us, and he says, "Who is the worst player you've been through so hundreds of players in the last couple of years? Who has been the worst?" And I thought, that's a harder question than asking who's better out of Stainrod, Latapy and McAllister for me, because it's a fight to the bottom on this one. So we threw that out. We threw that about round the pub, and there was a few answers came back. Ross, who were you going for?
Do you know, there's two for me in my head, and I will decide between the two. Gav mentioned Leo Fazan, one of the worst keepers, not just in a Falkirk jersey, but it's like his mum had entered some sort of competition and his son won, and he came along and he just looked so uncomfortable from the minute he signed. And do you know what? I think we all thought, oh, it's Italian, he'll be amazing.
He's first, then, he signed for Celtic. He spent his youth career at Celtic.
Aye, but he must have been like seventh in line or something, because I remember when he signed, Kelly fans were just rolling laughing about it. And then they were putting up these YouTube clips of him. I think it might have been against Hibs, and it just looked absolutely awful. So there's him or Denon Lewis, and I'm struggling to pick between the two of them. I probably am talking myself into Leo Fazan, but Denon Lewis was just, let's face it, he couldn't score on Love Island. So he, you know what I mean?
I've just looked to see where Leon, I always like to see where ex-players are now. Leon Fazan is still playing, funnily enough, and he's playing for FC Nola 1925, who you will find in Serie D in Italy.
Serie D?
Yes, right, I didn't even know it went down that far in the alphabet.
No, I didn't realise it went that far either.
So, Serie D, you'll find Leo Fazan down there at the moment playing for a team called Nola. Right, I'm going to just go straight in and say Marcus Haber, without a doubt.
Yeah, did he even score? Like,
He didn't.
So I'm going to trouble is there's too many.
So let's get into what the listeners are saying. Yeah. And you want to kick us off, Ross?
Yeah, I will do. Yes. I think I might have said this guy's name last week as well, but Borjos says, for a keeper, Luke Holt.
But you didn't really get to see Luke Holt, really, did you?
No, but the if he can't get a game for Gretna, he's not going to do well for us, though, is he?
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't really get to see him. And I think the negativity is obviously around the fact that he was Gary's son, and that was always the chat. But I'm not having Luke Holt.
I don't think we know he's not the worst keeper, because obviously we've just talked about one of the worst. But yeah. Outfield, Bojos says Ruben Samet, who was on loan from Chelsea. Or
biggest disappointment in many a year.
Was very disappointing.
You get a boy for Chelsea and you think, oh, this boy's going to be a player.
No, he had a cool car. I remember seeing him.
Did he have a cool car?
Yeah, the two girls to like one of the Junior Bairns events, and he
Obviously, was it Sunderland? I'm tracking down Ruben Samut now, and was released from Sunderland last year, and now playing for Dulwich Hamlet. They are currently members of the National League South in the sixth tier of English football and play at Champion Hill.
Sounds like Leo Fazan's playing at a higher level, to be honest.
Yeah, so there's where Big Ruben is these days.
So Ruben Samet or Denon Lewis for Borjaws.
And we know where Denon is. Love Island was the last year place he was spotted. Stuart says, Dylan Makin for that performance at Partick on the opening day a few years back. Dylan Makin there you go.
Yeah, he wasn't good either. I think, is it struggling Albion now, is he?
No, he left Stirling Albion at the end of last season. He's now at Kilwinning Rangers.
Wow, okay. So who's who of celebrity footballers we're talking about here, eh?
Yeah.
Keith says, Dan Turner. Weird thing was, Port Vale fans were gutted to see him go. And
I remember how excited you were when we got this guy in, Ross.
Yeah,
I remember you on the group chat going, signing's coming, I hear it's a good one. Then it was Dan Turner, Dan, and we're always on it all season. Oh, here's your man, Dan.
No. The thing is, we paid a fee for him. And if you pay a fee, you expect someone half decent, and he wasn't at all.
We didn't pay for him, did we?
We did. It might have been nominal, but I'm sure we paid a fee for him.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
He is now playing at Leamington.
Leamington.
He scored 12 goals in 38 games, and Leamington are currently a lot. He's playing alongside the same league as Big Ruben, sixth tier of English football.
Right, okay.
There we go. So he's playing for Leamington, and they're currently 15th in that league. So there's Dan, and he scored a few goals for them as well. So Dan's doing well for himself now. Right, okay, next player. Linda agrees with me. Marcus Haber, I'm not convinced he was as bad as he looked footballing-wise. He was just a lazy bastard who didn't give a toss.
Yeah, can't say much more.
Do you want to know where Marcus Haber is? Because I looked this up as well.
He's
are you aware of the works of the team Prea Can Reach Savai Rang?
No.
They play in Cambodia, and Marcus Haber is with them. And do you know what he's done? According to Wikipedia, right? Marcus might have basically edited this himself, but according to Wikipedia, this season, he has scored 17 goals in 16 appearances in Cambodia.
Where does that rank against the fourth tier of Italian football? That must be even worse.
I think the Cambodian league is right down there, I would guess.
Yeah.
But there you go. He scored 17 goals in 16 games for them.
Oh, well, fair play. He's getting money. They're getting value for money, I suppose, in Cambodia.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the next one at all. Mark says, Dimitri Froxy.
You don't agree with this because Froxy, you fancy the pants off Froxy.
I loved Froxy. I thought he was a fantastic footballer, in the wrong team at the wrong time.
And you know, he's probably the best looking guy that's ever played for Falkirk. Here's another question for another day.
Great player, in my opinion. He did really well at some of these other clubs, and he was just the wrong player at the wrong time.
And just what a shag he is on Instagram, I'll tell you. Right, so big Froxy there. Come on, you Bairns 333. Denon Lewis, the right back, signed as a forward.
Yeah, that miss where he almost shepherds the ball out for the defence.
Yeah. I saw him score a goal against Rangers B in the League Cup.
I don't remember that one. I remember another League Cup game I think he may have scored, and then he did some weird celebration that all the kids seemed to know what he was doing.
He was doing the thing from Fortnite.
Right. And I think he obviously thought he was on a different level, and that was as good as it got from him, I think. Homer agrees with yourself, John Marcus Haber. Many to choose from, but he was just terrible. Probably there was some talent there, but his desire to be a male model meant he hid away from doing anything.
Is he a male model, Marcus? We had some good-looking boys then. But Denon Lewis is in Love Island, Marcus. Listen, they might have been shite at football, but at least they were good-looking laddies, weren't they?
Well, that's something then, isn't it?
Well, that was something for them. Grant simply says Denon Lewis. Well, Paul comes in and says Marcus Haber, followed by Denon Lewis. Absolutely useless, both of them.
Graham here agrees with myself and Gav. Leo Fazan, he gets it ahead of Luke Holt for me, as Fazan was signed to be the number one, and it's true, he was.
Sandy has given us a full rundown of the last 5 years. Here we go in descending order. 2017-2018, Luca Gasparato. 2018-2019, Leon Fazan. 2019-20, Connor Salmon, and he got it twice in a row from Sandy. 2020-21, he got it from Sandy as well. And 2021-22, Michael Ruth.
Oh, well, now he's slagged off Michael Ruth. Michael Ruth will just come and score a hat-trick on Saturday, won't he?
And you've got to look at this one. This came in on our Twitter. Someone has given us the worst player 11 here, Ross. Do you want to go through this squad? It gives me shudders even thinking about this squad.
It does give shudders, although I can already tell I'm going to disagree with his bench because the aforementioned Froxy's amongst his subs. But this worst player 11 that's came through is Leo Fazan in goals. Back four of our very own Jamie Wilson at right back. That's a bit harsh. He's not even a right back. Dernan, Buchanan, and Dallison.
Dallison!
I forgot about Dallison.
Gregor Buchanan was hard done by. I thought Gregor Buchanan was a
deal. Yeah, I thought Gregor was okay as well. Falkirk fan as well, and he wore his heart on his sleeve, and I think he wasn't, again, maybe just the wrong player at the wrong time for the club.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the midfield is the stuff of nightmares.
Oh, God.
So we've got Lewis on the wing. Now, I'm assuming it's not Lewis Connolly. It must be the boy that we
came. Denon Lewis.
Is it Denon Lewis? Did we not sign another Lewis from...
I'm guessing it's Denon Lewis.
It probably is Denon Lewis. I'm thinking there was a youngster for Hearts, but I think you're right. Probably is Denon Lewis. We've got... Tom Owen Evans.
Where's the toe? You keep going. I want to find out where the toe is.
You check that out. Ruben Samet and Harris.
Alex Harris.
Oh, God. Yeah, of course.
A player like Samet came with such hope. And you think, I didn't know where he was.
He did lots of good things against us when he played for Hibs. So you expected something there.
The toe is at Kidderminster Harriers now, by the way.
Was that National League or something as well, is it?
I don't even know where Kidderminster Harriers. Listen, all our ex-players can be found in the sixth tier of the English Football League system.
Well, that says something. And then the front two, we've got Marcus Haber and Dylan Macken with a substitutes bench. Now, if you think that was bad, the substitutes bench has Dan Turner there again. Yeah. Aaron Jarvis, remember the guy we got from Luton Town?
Yeah.
It's easy to forget.
Denny Johnson. Oh, I forgot about him.
Did as well. Akil Francis. that's pretty brutal, as is the next one. Although I had high hopes for him. Sammy Omprion.
Sammy couldn't even kick the ball.
No, but the thing is, though, he's probably still wandering South London with his third kit on that he took home last season. Froxy Elias is there. Don't agree.
Froxy, you're going against that.
Ross McLean makes up the final member of that bench.
A lot of good work's been put in there by Josh, who sent us that in. So thanks for that. That is just the thing of nightmares. Please, you know, we should have done a crime watch kind of response. Please don't have nightmares after reading that out. Jesus Christ.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to have a look at our next opponents in the company of one of their supporters. And this week we are welcoming Queen of the South supporter. He writes for the Dumfries Courier down there as well. Journalist Ewan Maxwell, how are you doing, Ewan?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Very good.
Thanks. Very good. We're just still recovering after Edinburgh. Good luck when you go there, Ewan. I don't know what the press box is like. Is there a press box?
I've asked about that, and I'm still unsure. Maybe I'll be on the track side or something like that, doing the 100 metres.
At one point we said, see it full time, can we just leap the fence and we'll have our 800 metres round and see who wins?
Is this why the podcast this late?
Let's talk Queens with you. I mean, in six at the moment, start the season, obviously had that kind of dodgy result against Clyde in the first game. But then since then, two draws, one win. You've kind of played all the teams that we've played as well, because you played Airdrie, you played Montrose. And at the weekend there, Peterhead, 4-1 away from home. How has been looking, Ewan?
I feel like we came into the season really positive. And after 22 seconds against Clyde, I had one hand on the league title already. We went 1-0 up. It looked absolutely fantastic. But from there, I think we maybe underestimated Clyde. And we just never got into the game. We were bullied off the ball quite a lot. And we played free at the back in that game. And will they continue to do that for the Montrose and the Airdrie game until half-time? and we switched to a back four, and it was night and day. So the second half of the Ayrshire game, we were really, really good. We caused them so many problems, and it looks like he kept a back four against Peterhead. And that's the best way to play, I think, for Queens this season and in League One in general, I think. But yeah, I think it was a slow start, as you said, but we've got that all-important first win. With the fixtures coming up that we had, if we didn't beat Peterhead, I'd be worrying. But now I think we're going into three really tough games, including yourselves and Dunfermline, and we really need to be getting 3 or 4 points out of them two.
Yeah. Is it Falkirk and the Pars that you play back-to-back, Ewan?
Yeah, back-to-back. And in the middle of it, we've got a lovely trip to Ibrox on Tuesday night. Right, okay. So it's I build it as a big week for the club. Like, I think, as I said, I think points obviously mean the most. Rangers are a free hit. Do we expect to get anything from that game? Absolutely not. So interesting to see how we line up, though, because that's jam-packed in the middle of them two games.
Yeah,
that will be interesting. So overall, I mean, obviously, Alan Johnston, it didn't really work out, and you know, papped him out the door. Willie Gibson comes in as player manager. How's he done, Ewan?
Well, when he got appointed as the temporary gaffer, I think the majority of supporters were in favour of giving him a crack at it. He's a local boy. He loves the club. And he was really getting out positive messages, even though the team were bottom of the league, struggling. And we actually kicked off his regime really well. I think it was 3 back-to-back victories. I think it was in the cup, though. Then we went on a losing run under him, though. The honeymoon was kind of over. 7 games, I think that was including the cup final against Raith, that we lost. But he was obviously on the pitch at that point as well, playing every week. And I think he was our player of the season again. So it was a juggling act for him. He had Grant Murray as his number two as well. I think we should have probably pulled the sack AJ trigger a month earlier than we did, to give us the best possible chance. But even though we went down, I think there was a lot of positivity in the air at Palmerston, and that continued throughout the summer because we got a transfer business done early, which is...
I remember that, Ewan, because it felt like you were signing like a player every day, almost. What was coming through the media.
Yeah, and it's quite strange because we're used to signing 7 on the first day of pre-season. And to have these players, and players that we actually like kind of have a wee bond with, like Gavin Riley, local striker again, coming back. I think that it's really brought the supporters back to the club after a few hard years.
Yeah,
but I think the players he's brought in for this level, I think I encourage him. He's managed to keep 3 or 4 players from the team who got relegated, but they were standout players for us, like Lee Connolly, and he got injured halfway through the season, and we never really cracked on from then. And also keeping the likes of Josh Todd, he's now captain, and keeping Ewan East as well, who's a striker, but he's now a centre back for Queens.
Is that so, Josh Todd that was at Falkirk? Is it?
It is Josh Todd that was at Falkirk. A couple of ex players actually in the side there. You got Josh Todd, Michael Ruth, and Kieran McKenna. We've obviously had about 100 different players in the last couple of seasons, so it's no surprise that there's ex players in the squad. Interested to hear you saying Josh Todd's done well for you.
Yeah, he's done well for us. I think he's been at the club 2 or 3 times before, but. He started off slowly, but he was named captain after Willie Gibson got the job because he couldn't be the captain, manager, goal scorer, all things that one. You know? So he gave it to Josh Todd, and I've spoke to Josh a few times about it, and he said at first he was like, "I'm not the captain type, but I'm going to give it a go." And you can tell in the way he plays now, he plays with a bit more responsibility.
Good.
And he got injured in then. I think it was a League Cup campaign, and he wasn't in for the first 2 games. And you could tell there's a difference when he's on the pitch now. You could tell he's got that bit of confidence as well. I think that he's got a manager who believes in him, and that really has helped. And he scored an absolute stunning goal on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I saw he was on the score sheet there on Saturday as well. Michael Ruth and Kieran McKenna as well, both in the Queen's squad. What do you make of them?
I'll start with McKenna. He was playing as a wing back when we were doing the three centre back formation, does it suit him? I'm not 100% sure. I think he'd be more suited as a centre back, but he's a right back and a four at the back. So going forward, he's actually delivered a few good balls in, but he's one of them players. I don't know if that's his natural position. I think he's a centre back. Was he a centre back for you guys?
He was. When I saw him, I actually thought he looked like a decent player. We got him from an American team, and he came in under Ray McKinnon, and I thought he looked like he could be a really good footballer. And obviously, the way Falkirk went over there, he didn't really have the chance to prove it. But surprising that actually, he played quite a bit for Partick Thistle last season as well. Surprised that actually he left the club.
Yeah. So was that. It was one of them players when we didn't sign him originally. He got married in America, because I'm sure he's married to a women's football player. So they got married in America and then they had the honeymoon, and then we announced them, because we did hear a few trickles that, oh, we could be signing Keane McKenna. I was like, oh, that's quite a big signing, actually. Yeah. The jury's still, it's still very early days, but I think he's going to be the right back for us. Because Willie Gibson can still play, but he's only featured, I think, once or twice. Started in the middle of the park against Clyde, and I think he played in the middle of the park against Elgin as well. So I don't expect Willie to be playing much. So I think McKenna's one of the only two players who have played every minute so far. Right. And the jury's out still, but I think he's solid enough at this level. Going into Michael Roof, him and Gavin Riley picked up some training injuries during pre-season, and I think he came on against Airdrie for the last 15 minutes, and that's all I've seen of Michael Roof. So again, can't really comment, but he got himself in a good position, and I think he was close to scoring the winner, but other than that, can't really comment. What do you think about Michael Roof?
Ross?
I wasn't a fan, if I'm being honest, Ewan, but as John said, we've obviously had such a turnover of players, and they're not all bad, right? The club was obviously just going through players like anything, so I've no idea whether he's actually going to turn into a great footballer or he's not. But he didn't do that well from us. Actually, I think he scored maybe half a dozen goals. I could be overestimating that. It was maybe only three or four, but he popped up and got the odd goal for us. So I think we will need to watch him.
Yeah.
As always, ex-players will want to come. I think there'll be a big crowd at the stadium on Saturday. Might even push 4,000 just with the last couple of wins that we've had. And so I think there'll be a big crowd. So, you know what, Queens will probably come, and I think they'll probably come with a bit of confidence. As John said earlier on, there's a great win that they've just had. So, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Who's the danger man, aside from the people we've mentioned there, you?
I would say a player who's probably my player of the season so far has been Rory Payton. He's a forward that we got last season from Stranraer. But he was playing like right wing, and he was in and out of the team under Alan Johnston. But this season, it looks like he's bulked up, and some of his link-up play, and he's been bullying some defenders as well, which I didn't think he had in him. But he's been really, really, really encouraging to begin with. And he's only 22, and after Josh Todd got injured, he got the captain's armband. So I was trying to think of a younger Queen's captain, and I can't really.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, but he's really impressed this season. And obviously Gavin Riley up front, he's just back from injury, and I think he's got that one goal, and I think he'll smell blood in this league, and hopefully if he stays fit, can hit a fair few more.
Well, hopefully not on Saturday, that's for sure. I mean, the style of football, as I saw, it was a fantastic goal I think you scored in the League Cup, you and Queen of South. It looks like they're playing quite expansive football.
Yes, yeah, that would be it. That's probably the Air United goal.
It's an unbelievable goal.
I think nearly every player touched the ball. I think Willie Gibson touched it in the dugout as well. But he was, we're playing nice football. But I think we can play this nice football when we play 4-4-2. I think we've been found out quite a lot, especially with Rico Quatongo at left wing back. there'd be so much space in that side. So we just need to find a balance for this, because we've got really good attacking footballers like Lee Conley, as I mentioned earlier, Connor Murray as well. He's came back to the club and I think he's improved as a player.
He scored two at the weekend.
And another one was a cracker as well. And he's got that in his locker. It might just be the other side of the game for Conor Murray that he struggles on. But these players, they're exciting footballers. And when they click, we've got a really good chance of doing some damage in this league.
Yeah. Well, where do you think, I'll get your predictions for the game in a minute, but where do you think Queens are going to end up? Are you thinking title or are you thinking playoffs?
Before the ball was kicked, I was thinking titles, I'll be honest with you. But I think I've been brought down back to earth a little bit. I still think it's between us, yourselves and Dunfermline going for the title. I know that Airdrie's had a great start to the season, but I just, looking at their squad in depth, I just can't see them. I can see them being in the playoffs. But I would still aim for the title at the moment. But as I said earlier on, if we didn't win against Peterhead, I'd be scratching my head thinking, where's the first win going to come from?
Yeah, it's big two games, having the back, both us and Dunfermline back to back.
I still believe we can. Would you call it an upset against the big guns of Falkirk and Dunfermline?
These days, I don't know if you could.
No, I don't know if you would. No, I know.
No, I don't think you would. But
listen, see, the thing is, Queens are the team that's came down, so
exactly.
Yeah,
they're the favourites to go back up, regardless of. Obviously, the Pars, I know, that came down as well. But I think, I think you're right. I think it's going to be tight. I had written off Airdrie, to be honest, pre-season, just with who they lost in terms of the manager and stuff.
Done, they have started off the season very, very well, Airdrie.
So, it's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight. What's the score going to be on Saturday then, Ewan?
I've went for 2-1 Queens. It would have been 3-1, but Stephen Dobby's not available. So,
damn you, Stephen Dobby!
I was looking back on some of his goals, and all 45 of his goals against Falkirk were absolutely brilliant.
I'm glad he's retired now. Thank God,
100%.
I was actually speaking to a lot of Queens fans who are actually excited about playing the likes of Falkirk and Dunfermline again. I think it's a really big game. I don't know for you guys, you probably just think
it's a key game. We were just saying that earlier on, and it's a really important game for us. We had two wins for the first time in a year just gone there. I mean, obviously it was Peterhead and Edinburgh, so this is the marker right now, I think, against Queens. So I guess it's the same for you guys as well. This is your marker as well, you know.
Absolutely. If we get 4 points, I get out of yourselves and Dunfermline, then we can look up. But if it's 0-3, then I don't know.
I'm just hoping the ones against Falkirk, if you do get something, but we'll be taking the 3. Ross, what are you thinking?
Like you and said, I'm just glad Stephen Dobie's no longer in a Queen's shirt, to be honest.
He can maybe sign before the end of the week. You never know.
Don't say that. Unless he signs for us, I'll be all right for that. but no, I think Saturday it's going to be another tough game. And if I'm being honest, I know it sounds a bit boring, but I'd bite your hand off for a 1-0 win now.
Right. Well, I'd take that as well. You coming up for the game, Ewan?
I am indeed. I'm in two minds whether to do it for the press or come in their way end.
Get in their way end, son. Get yourself behind the wall. A couple of beers. We'll see you in Elliot's for a beer.
No problem.
Right. Ewan, thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really good to get an insight into Queens. And I would say best of luck on Saturday, but I don't really mean it.
Exactly. Don't lie to me.
Cheers, Ewan.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, mate.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So, Roscoe, that is us for this week on Falkirk Daft. Remember, please get your reviews in. I said I put up a fake review last week and no one has since put up a review. So please, on Apple, right, go up and put a fake review and give us 5 stars, right, whatever you do. And just say some nonsense, like sign it off as Dan Turner or Froxiliass or one of those terrible players we mentioned earlier on.
Great thinking.
Yeah, so get on there, give us a review, give us 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to this and many a channel. You can also get us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @FalkirkDaft. Subscribe, like the channel, guys! like the channel on YouTube. You can subscribe there. Maybe we can start doing some unboxing and stuff like that, Ross. That's what the kids are doing on YouTube, isn't it? That's what they do these days.
Well, that's true.
Unboxing videos. Maybe we'll get our hits up and we'll do a Falkirk unboxing video or something like that. Anyway, like and subscribe on the channel, guys. Comment below. If you want to join our chat, our group chat on Discord, please do that as well. The links are there as well, so you can get involved in the chat. Loads of guys on there already, chatting about the games and what have you. Right, so Queen of South next, Ross. Like we say, we've talked about momentum, and this is the, for me, like I say, Airdrie was a marker. We're forgetting about Airdrie.
Yeah.
This is the next test, isn't it?
It's a big test, as we said. It has to be 3 points at home. If we're talking about seriously getting out of this league, we need to be winning our home games and having a right good go at the away game, seeing how many points we can get on the road as well. But these home games, regardless of whether it's Dunfermline, Queen of the South or Peterhead, it needs to be 3 points.
Aye, absolutely. So fingers crossed, 3 points for the Bairns on Saturday. And until then, what do we see?
Expect the unexpected.
Damn right.
This is Falkirk Daft.